53. And when is it time to have that conversation?
When
is it time?
Is it time?
Okay. Mets are headed home. Yankees up 2-0 on Cleveland. They got games.
Cakewalk they have right now. I'm sick.
Just shut up with the cakewalk.
Would you rather our path or your path? Let's be honest here.
Would you rather your path or our path?
Your path. What?
So yeah, no shit. Take a path like this, and to all the fucking Orioles fans and Astros fans, are like, oh, the Yankees have such an easy path. You lost to the easy path.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Come on.
The Mets didn't. The Mets was the hardest road.
Cleveland is the fucking two seed, might I add. It's not like Cleveland's like this little like pesky little wild card team.
They won
94 games.
Speaks volumes.
Stop it. Whatever. we'll recap both the ALCS and the NLCS. Mets taking on the Dodgers in Game 3 tonight. Yankees taking on the Guardians in Game 3 tomorrow. Football. Some pretty big news. Devontae Adams is a New York Jet. Roberts, this is our first episode since the Jets fired Rob Saleh. The Giants, on the other hand, get
doesn't
a rough
even
loss.
Get Robert, I love that. Yeah, you're not even Robert anymore. You're Rob Saleh when you get fired. That's what you are.
I've always called him Rob. I've either called him Rob or Bob.
Bob is crazy. I've never Bob's, heard anyone call Bob, him Bob.
Bob's even better. Anyway, Giants lose against the Bengals. Andrew Thomas just announced now that he elected to have the foot surgery. Now he is out for the year.
Smart.
Yay. This is this year. It's fucking. Do it this year. Especially when you have the piss poor quarterback play that we do have. So no NFL recap today.
Call me an idiot, Stan, but I started Danny Dimes over Josh Allen in fantasy. Maybe it was just a hatred thing for me. Out of pure hate. I offered like four trades to get rid of him too.
You're disgusting.
The fandom runs deep, Stan. Jet the fuck up.
You're disgusting. Right? Talk about Oregon's big win over Ohio State. We're going to try to rapid fire this, considering the fact that I have class in under an hour.
And I have class in an hour and a half.
So... Let's see how this goes. Oregon takes out Ohio State. We'll recap that. And then hockey's back. Hockey's back. Just started.
Nothing crazy so far. The Isles are 1-1-1. Pretty much what I expected. I mean, same as last year, I guess. I don't know.
What more do you want? All right. Let's go to start with the Mets.
Blowout. Let's just go to game one. Let's get over game one real quick.
Yeah, ugly. Let's get game
ugly,
one out of the way.
Ugly.
It was...
A mix of everything went wrong. Poor base running, poor fielding, poor pitch. I mean, it was just they got. And you know what?
The decision to start Kodai Senga was not a smart one. If you ask,
you know what? I'll all right. That's fine. But I will say, besides that Schwarber home run and the Philly start, he looked fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes. The Philly start looked good, but it's like you're asking him to get a guy coming off of an injury when you know you have a guy like Manaea. Quintana looked pretty good in game 5. Severino looked but at the same time, you could still even try a guy out like David Peterson and you have him coming out of the bullpen, but I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the Senga decision.
I don't hate it. I didn't hate it just because, again, the way that I look at it is the same thing as someone would throw a bullpen game. Is you're not really, you're not like throwing off the rotation by any means because you've been used to this all year. But
yeah,
I mean, I like it. I honestly like it. I think the X factor there is if he gives you 3 innings with 4 Ks, no runs, which he can do, you're like, oh, you know, we're sitting pretty. Obviously, that's not what happened. So you just, you know, whatever, bad decision. You can call it that. But they bounce back in game 2 like they've done all year long.
I felt like in game one, it was more of you saw the Dodgers were the more active team. You know, 2 days prior, they played in the game 5. The Mets didn't. They won in 4. So there was a long layoff. They had a break. It seems like you fucking needed one, though.
Yeah, well, after that 14 game, whatever that, 16 games seems in like 11 days.
Seems like you fucking needed one in the worst way. There was, game two just set the tone immediately with that Lindor home run.
Set the tone. Immediately, and that's what a captain does. I mean, you need a big at-bat. He works like, I mean, it was like an 8-pitch at-bat. Boom.
Yeah.
Nuke. And then you flip it.
The Vientos Grand Slam was like a 9-pitch.
Unbelievable. Nine pitches. That's a 24-year-old that's taking a 9-pitch at-bat in the largest stage of his career and hits a Grand Slam.
He's built for it. I remember. Shout out to my boy Kevin, also a diehard Met fan. And I remember like earlier in the year, he like asked me, he's like, do you believe that Mark Vientos is a Major League Baseball player? I'm like, I said yes, but I wouldn't like put him out. Like he's a DH. He's a glorified DH. Seeing the shit that he's doing at third base right now.
Unbelievable. He's got a cannon, a laser from across the diamond. Unbelievable. And to think
that you open the year being like, you know what, Brett Beatty is our third baseman.
Thank God that didn't last. Oh my God.
The thing that the year with Brett Beatty as our third baseman is a ridiculous statement to say looking back at it.
Ridiculous for how good Vientos has been. And I know we've seen players make that jump, like all-star guys. This guy's been in the system for a while now. He was a first-round pick. He's 24 years old, but he gets a call-up mid-year. He makes the most of it. He made a name for himself. And you can call me crazy, call me whatever the hell you want, but is he a top five third baseman, top three third baseman in baseball as of right now? I mean, you start listing names, it's like you got two guys, and then you're like, all right, Jose Ramirez and Manny Machado, and I go down the list, and it's like, OPS-wise, he is the highest, he had the highest OPS,
maybe.
Highest OPS of any third baseman in the league. Obviously, you look at defense, but his bat is unbelievable, and I give a lot of credit to JD Martinez. He completely turned around this guy's approach. His bat looks a lot quicker this year. It was a much longer swing going back when you go years prior. It's much quicker to the ball. He is just, he's a professional. And Mark Vientos, unbelievable.
I'm trying to find third baseman to put in. You know what, let's see major league third baseman leaders in weighted runs created plus. Because I feel like...
Dude, his numbers are kind of ridiculous. When you look at his bat, I mean, he had 27 homers this year. He came up in 2 months into the season.
No. Third baseman, all right. Third baseman in war. War is a much better stat. Okay. Mark Vientos, he is not on this list out of the 30. So I hate to burst your bubble there, Tim.
Well, you know what? Games played in war is a big factor, and he didn't have a ton. So
Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado.
I would give those two the 1-2. I don't even know anymore.
Gunner.
Yeah, but is he even a third baseman?
I mean, he's on this list, so I would assume so.
All right.
Austin Riley, and honorable mentions go to Nolan Arenado and Rafael Devers.
Okay, I would give Devers, not Arenado anymore. I honestly really wouldn't give Arenado anymore. He's in that like conversation. For a 24-year-old? I know it's one season, but come on.
If you want to go weighted runs created plus, it's basically the same top five, but instead you have... No Gunner, no, what's his fucking name?
Arenado?
No Gunner, and no Arenado, Jose Ramirez, Rafael Devers, Machado, Chapman, Bregman.
Again, I would throw his name around with a lot of those guys, just production-wise, and the way he's been in... I mean, he has 6 multi-hit games in his first 9 playoff games. The only other player with more is Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good company.
That's pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
Yeah. And then we could talk about, you know, Mets guys being productive. Let's talk about Yankees guys being productive. Luke Weaver has been the best relief pitcher in the playoffs.
I mean he had a shaky time last night. I had given up that home run off of
the only run he's let up in the playoffs.
It's the only run this bullpen has let up in the playoffs.
They've been phenomenal.
This bullpen's been great, and a big worry for the Yankees going into this postseason was the bullpen. What the hell are you gonna do with the bullpen? We didn't know who the closing pitcher was going into this season. Or going into this postseason.
Yeah, I know. Fucking in the fifth inning yesterday, you throw in Clay Holmes.
Clay Holmes. Who has been nothing short of phenomenal. Who has been nothing short of phenomenal. He's been incredible. I'm liking this bullpen. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of guys like Tim Hill. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of guys like Tommy Cainley. It seems like we're getting to our group of guys. There hasn't been a situation, really. I mean, you can count last night where we had to put in Eden Hamilton because Cole was sort of struggling a bit. But we're putting ourselves in situations where you don't really have to go deep into your bullpen.
Yeah.
I was pretty worried game one. Game one, yeah. After what I saw from Rodon in game two against Kansas City, Rodon was able to keep his emotions in check, which is kind of like a crazy thing to say about a pitcher, but at the same time, it's like, all right, he was able to keep his emotions in check, and he was able to throw six innings of outstanding baseball. You go to Holmes in the seventh, you go to Hill in the eighth. I know he was a bit rough, but then Weaver gets the five-out save in the ninth.
Like, yeah, and I think for both these New York teams, I know the Mets' bat has been phenomenal, but the pitching for both these teams has been fantastic.
It's been insane. Sean Manaea.
Fantastic. I give that man any amount of money he wants. Whatever he wants, give it to him. Whatever he wants, give it to him. He is an ace.
The arm angle is just...
He's Chris Sale 2.0. And
very Chris Sale-like.
The thing with him is that he elevates that sinker ball, and he works two pitches to lefties, and he has a five-pitch arsenal that he can work to righties just to work them away and in.
Yeah.
His pitch mix has been fantastic. He's been hitting his spots. And when Alvarez came back after injury, he stepped it up again. Even that, you can add the arm slot, but Alvarez has been fantastic back there for these starters. Yeah, fantastic. So keep it rolling. Let's go, New York. I'm all in right now. We said it in the beginning. You said, when are we going to have time to start that conversation? When are we going to start that conversation? And Stan, I'm not going to say it now, but they look good. Both of them look good.
What's this show without technical difficulty? Of course, we need to like chop it up. And then, of course, we have this shit. So, perfect. With the Yankee lineup, there's some...
Is Judge heating up?
He better be. I'm more so worried about Austin Wells than fucking Aaron Judge right now. Austin Wells. I don't like what I'm seeing, but at the same time, it's like, all right, you don't want to fuck with this lineup because we're winning games.
Exactly. And it's the same kind of thing for the Mets. With Alvarez
too. Anthony Rizzo's looked pretty good. He's looked pretty good coming off of injury in those two games. Do you put Rizzo up at cleanup?
It's a weird time for the Yankees, but you're up 2-0. It's a good problem to have.
Yes. And I'm just gonna say this now. If you are a Yankee fan, and now a Met fan can think this and be like, okay. If you are a Yankee fan and you want a Subway Series World Series, you are rooting for nuclear war. Like that. You're rooting for nuclear war. I'm sorry, but you are. You are rooting for nuclear war. Be prepared for those shelter drills that they show, that those videos during like the Cold War where they hide under the desk when you're at work or at school.
The nuke That's drills.
Yeah. Yeah. You're rooting for nuclear war. You are rooting for nuclear war.
And it may happen.
When is that conversation like? We're kind of having that conversation right now.
Yeah.
But like, and when is that conversation going to become a reality?
I know. And let's not get ahead of ourselves. All I'm going to say is the Mets hit really well at Yankee Stadium. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
But it's just like my dad brought it up. Like in 2000, like it was.
Oh,
the
my
worst.
Dad didn't talk to. He didn't talk to Yankee fan. He didn't. He like at work was ignoring people. I mean, it was unbelievable. He went to two of the games. Like he just didn't like. You know, it is what it is.
But
I
mean, the whole buildup to it, it was just like, oh my God. Well, like, if
the
they
whole
buildup
to this
us.
is ridiculous. And the flip-flop from 2000 and now is that, you know, 2000, it's like, all right. I mean, everyone's like, let's go Yankees. But now you're sitting in a world where it's can the Mets pull this off? And now everyone in the world is like, holy shit, can the Mets pull this off? So all the pressure will be on the Yankees when you flip to that World Series side.
I mean, the pressure was on the Yankees back in 2000.
I know, but now really think about it. You're looking at a historic season if the Mets can finish this. And I'm not saying, because again, we're not there yet, but...
Oh, whatever. My class got canceled.
Hey, there we go.
My class got canceled. We don't got to worry about nothing. We don't got to worry about nothing.
I still got class, but yeah, no, we got time.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Oh my God. I feel so much better.
It's
now.
Like the Yankees just hit a home run.
Yeah, it's like Aaron Judge just hit a home run. Like this is great. This is great. Anyway. So we could talk more baseball.
Let's talk about the other two teams. We could talk about the Dodgers and the Indians. I want to bring up a point about the Dodgers. I want to bring up the point about Shohei Ohtani.
Did you say the forbidden word?
What?
You said the Indians.
Oh, my fault. The Guardians. I meant the Guardians. My fault. It's just, come on. Wow. I've been a baseball fan. They were the Indians in Little League, okay? Like, there was a team called the Indians in Little League. All right,
New York
just running
Sports Exchange. We were the New York Sports Exchange.
Running through my head, all right? Running through my head. But I just want to talk. Shohei is struggling. That is great for the New York Mets. Great.
The media does not want you to know that, by the way.
No.
They do not want you
to
know that.
They won't bring that up. But you know who will? Sean Manaea striking him out twice. Twice. Talking 2Ks in the second time.
They will not bring that up.
Silly.
Did you? That one fucking, like, half-hearted swing.
Oh, my God. The second strikeout where he just threw his hands at the ball.
I was like, oh, my God.
And you know what it is? It's that sinker. He works that arm slot because if he works that sweeper away
does.
and he throws that sinker again, it looks like the same pitch, except instead of breaking away, it's coming back. And every time it comes back, those lefties look stupid. Every single time.
They do. You're going bullpen game. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I get like pitching short for them. Like, you know, you have Flaherty and Yamamoto. Yeah, very short for them.
I mean, Walker Buehler's got a 10.5 ERA starting tonight. Yeah. So.
And I know like they're waiting for Kershaw to come back, and that just hasn't happened yet.
He said next season he'll be back. I don't think
he's not coming back.
I don't think he's coming back.
So pitching's an issue, clearly. You're going bullpen game. Like, how long is this going to last? Like, I'm sorry.
It worked
How
out
long is this gonna last?
Perfectly against the Padres, perfectly. But you can't expect it to work perfectly twice. And it didn't. It just didn't work. You didn't get the 1.3 innings you got from what's-his-face starting the game that you got against the Padres. Same thing. If you can get some disruption in a bullpen game where you can switch the flow of things.
His name was... I'm blanking, and I should know this.
I can't remember.
Oh, Ryan Brazier. But they were really looking for innings out of Landon Knack.
No, exactly. But the thing is, if you can get to a guy like Brazier first and then force Knack to come in earlier, put him in a comfortable situation, again, just disrupting the flow in a bullpen game is exactly what you need to do. They worked high counts. I mean, 8-pitch at bat to start the game, 9-pitch grand slam. You know, even if it's not a grand slam, a 9-pitch at bat against a bullpen game is... That's what you're looking for. You're looking for good ABs, long counts, and that's what the Mets did. They got to him early. They did their job. I want to see if they can execute tonight. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah. To Cleveland, something just like, it doesn't rub me the wrong way. I'll just say this.
They don't.
I have a hell of a new respect for Stephen Vogt. I'll say that. He's got a bright future as a manager in this league. And it's kind of already been proven that he's won 90-something games his first year as a manager. But I'm just going to say
this. I will say this, crazy. It was two first-year managers in the NLCS this year.
Crazy. Both championship series. But there's just something that, like, worries me about Cleveland. And I think I just go back to 2022, where it was every bounce, every bloop, every pop-up went Cleveland's way.
It doesn't feel like that right now.
It doesn't feel like that right now. And that kind of worries me because I know that I know some home cooking is going to be happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
But all you need to do now after taking two at home is take one of three.
One of three, which is I'm fine with. I would gladly love to take two out of three.
And end it, obviously.
And end it. Yeah, clearly, yeah. The thing is, the Yankees have been road dogs all fucking year. They have been road dogs is a bad word. Road Warriors, there we go, have been the best team in baseball on the road. And they were able to go into Kansas City in a hostile environment. You know, team hasn't made it to the playoffs in, what, like 10 years, was it? Since the World Series? Since they made that World Series? Yeah, it's been a while.
I think so.
And they were able to weather that. They were able to weather that storm. So keep on doing it. They've been doing it. I don't want to like feel any, like everyone's like, oh, this is the year. I'm like, let's get there first. Like, let's get there first and then we can believe.
I know. And you know what? It just, again, it comes down to that New York magic because both teams are in there and it's like, both fan bases are like, it's like, who's getting there first? Like, are we both getting there? Is one of us getting there? Like, how is this going to work?
And I'm going home tomorrow. So like, I have to like book it. like they're on at 5 o'clock tomorrow. I'm like, oh my god.
I think my brother and my dad are definitely probably going to games 3, 4, 5. One of them. I know Joe Tool texted me. He said he's buying tickets to game 5.
This is a time to be alive. Like 100%. This is a great time to be alive right now.
If they go to the World Series, I'm going home. First of all, if both of them go to the World Series, knock on wood, I'm just saying this, and this is
this podcast knock on wood, is over.
But I'm going home to probably a good amount of those games, Dan. I will work my ass off to go to those games.
I'm just like worried about this podcast if there's a Mets Yankees World Series. Like that's where I'm.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? It sucks because you know it's like we so many Yankee fans, and it's like I got like four guys I can pick.
From. I know so many Met fans. Like my grandfather came off the boat from Ireland in 1962 or something like that. I don't know what year, but still, he was like, you know what, new team. Fuck it. I'm a Met fan.
Here we are.
He's been to a World Series game. He went back in 15.
Did he go to any of the winning ones? 69 or 86?
No. He went to, I mean, he lived them, but no, he went to the Daniel, I think he went to the Daniel Murphy era game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
I mean, like, every game has it, isn't it? The Lucas Duda throw, the Daniel Murphy, like, every game. That series haunts me to this day because it was literally just the Mets beating themselves. Like, it was just the Mets just beating themselves. Like, and then that, whatever.
My one worry from the Yankees, and this is the last thing I'll bring up baseball-wise, I am a little bit worried about Luis Gil. Just because, and I know opponents are hitting like what? Like his opponent batting average is like 180, something like that. Like he's been pretty unhittable. My two worries are, one, he has not pitched in a while. And number two, he has those control. This has always been the problem with him. And it's so, like, funny to say how, like, this guy made his debut when I was a senior in high school. I'm a senior in college.
And he's still a rookie.
This is technically his rookie year because he had Tommy John a couple years ago. But I'm going to let Clark do his thing. If we go up 3-0, then I'm like, okay, if Luis Gil's coming in and we're up 2-1, that's where I'm, like, sort of... My heart's kind of bumping out of my chest. Like,
tough game there.
It might be a tough game there, and hopefully he can deliver, but we'll see.
And the issue with that is you really don't want to make that a bullpen game where you start him and now you're going through four guys, and it's like, all right, well now we're beat up going to the next game.
Marcus Stroman.
I said it forever ago. I mean, we can go back to like May,
December.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've been saying this for forever. His arm fall once his arm falls off, and it's always at the All-Star break. It's wraps. You throw him out there. It's over.
Yeah,
it's over. Yeah. All right. You can't pitch.
Other important New York sports stuff. Let's go to football. The New York Jets have fired Robert Saleh. You're happy I said Robert.
Let's start from the beginning and where it started.
Yes,
the Jets fire Robert Saleh. They make Ulbrich the interim head coach, which
a shock. Was it the right move to make is my question.
I think...
I have another question for when we bring up you guys traded for Devontae Adams.
I think it was the right move for the offense. I think defensively, they're going to take a little bit of a hit. There's a lot more impact now in Ulbrich calling the defensive plays than there is before, because now he's got to manage the whole game while still calling defensive plays. Yeah. There's a lot more to it for that. It will affect the defense, I think, a little bit. We saw it. The run defense was fucking abysmal on Monday night.
Not good.
Abysmal. And for me, that was the main issue that I wanted them to fix. Obviously, the receiver issue was Mike Williams. Just what the fuck was that? I mean, what the fuck? Dude,
Aaron didn't give him the best throw. I'll say that.
All right, fair enough. But how do you fall?
It's a tough situation when he fell, but like, let's all be honest here. He did not give him the best. That was not the best throw
fair,
I've seen.
Fair, but if he's on and his I've feet, seen,
and we saw him
at halftime,
perfectly complete a Hail Mary. So
I'm saying is, you don't fall, you make that catch, or at least break it up. And this is the thing that's been killing them all year is these late drive turnovers.
At the same time, though, Breece Hall was wide open to at least get you in field goal range, to at least True. Give you a shot. And I know Zuerlein, I don't know what the fuck he was doing, but...
And me and the announcer, I get it. It was a little bit windy, but come on. The flags aren't even moving on the post. Like, you missed the first one. You knew there's going to be more wind. I don't know how you go take the second one that's closer, and you're like, all right, well, you're going to chip this one in and just hit the post. Whatever. I mean, things happen. All right. You move past it. Terrible loss. That can't be a loss. You got to come out with
it's
that.
It's a bad loss.
You got to come out with it, at least something. Like, a win. It's got to
so
be.
So now, you trade for Devontae Adams. And
well, before the Vontae Adams trade, let's even go before that.
Yes.
Hassan Reddick's agent, he fires his agent, hires a new agent to get traded. So I saw that first and I thought, fuck, that's the first thing I thought was that stinks because I mean, that's again, run defense was abysmal. That is a guy that helps the run defense. Kinlaw was awful. You got to bring some guys in here. Terrible. Terrible. And you got to bring a guy. You bring a guy like Hassan Reddick, and that fixes a lot of problems immediately. So that was my first thing. Was like, all right, that sucks because now he's at the door. Like an hour and a half later, they make a trade for Devontae Adams, and I'm like, okay. I mean, it's something. Mike Williams is now on the block.
Yeah. So my thing with this trade is, and I'm just gonna say it. And I think Bill Simmons said it best here. They blow a must win Monday night game to be first place in the division. And they blow that game because of their putrid run defense and their kicker and 110 yards worth of penalties. And then you panic trade for Devontae Adams.
That's where
the meme of that kid winning the spelling bee and the confetti's falling like on him and he just like isn't reacting. Like he's like literally just like standing there like frozen.
Yeah.
That's I feel like that's every Jet fan. And now there's one Jet fan I know that is like who's Tim, he is more delusional than you. He is more like
Peter?
No, here. He is more I swear to God and like he was watching the like we had two TVs on. We're watching the Jet game and the Yankee game. This was game one. And I'm like freaking out over the Yankees. And he's like, oh, fucking this is Jet football. I'm like, shut up. He's like, you're expecting a different result.
No. And it's like, it's like I get it. Like you add Devontae, that adds more offense. Obviously the receiving, it's been somewhat of an issue, the passing game. The run game's been even worse. There's so many issues that stem.
Well, you know who else is on the trade block? And we'll bring up this other team. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is on the trade block. I don't know if Aaron wants to, you know, step in there and talk to Joe.
I think Lazar.
And I'll say this about Joe Douglas right now. I have never in my life have seen a New York executive, a New York sports team general manager owner, get so many free passes from the media. Who does he have pictures of? Who is he sleeping with? I have no idea. Joe Shane drafted Evan Neal and people were already calling for his job. Joe Douglas drafted Zach Wilson, right? He drafted Zach Wilson, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Drafted Zach Wilson. I get that the 2022 draft, yes, was probably one of the best drafts I think I've seen from a general manager ever. And
that's
believe
saving
me,
him.
It's saving him, yes. The Hassan Reddick trade. Like,
just pay the fuck. If you're gonna, just pay the man.
If you're going to trade for him, pay him. Like, pay that's where I'm like, I've just never seen a guy just get so many free passes. And let's keep in mind, Joe Douglas as GM of the New York Jets has never finished with a record above 500. I have never seen the glazing of someone like this.
Blame gets put on someone else every single time. Every single time the blame's on someone else. Zach Wilson, and now the O-line. And
now I'll say this. Woody Johnson stepping in, very Mara-like.
Yeah.
Very Mara-like.
I don't buy this. I called Aaron after we had that hour long talk. I don't buy this. And he's like, we didn't talk about the trip. No, I don't buy that at all. You talk to him. You lost the game. He made it clear that either you make this trade or he's going to be upset. They made the trade. I get it. Devontae Adams is world class. He's a world class receiver. That's an immediate upgrade for the offense. But
absolutely.
There's so many more issues. And I think penalties right now is the main... How do you... Obviously, the officiating was just... It's a flag show out there on
abysmal.
Monday night.
Abysmal.
But calm.
Like, it was almost, it was unwatchable. Like, I'm sorry. And that's like the one ref that I can't stand too. Because he's like...
But they're shooting. They're just shooting themselves in the foot every single drive. And you'll get a 20-yard gain, 5-yard loss for like taunting or some bullshit. A holding, a legal formation, a legal man downfield.
Who had the penalty for the inappropriate talk to the ref?
Oh my lord, because of the bullshit, whatever, like roughing the passer call that they call. And you know, again, it's just, you got to know what's going on. I get it. A bullshit roughing the passer, whatever, it's fine. But they missed the field goal anyway, so it didn't really matter. But
yeah, they missed the field goal, but still. Like,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
The funniest part about that, though, is like the offensive lineman like pointing, like, ah! Like, I wonder like what like he said to require, like, he called the ref's wife a whore.
Probably, something of that nature. Just, it was, oh my gosh. And it was just tough to watch. It really was tough to watch. And I know the Giants game wasn't much better, just like at all, but the Jets game.
I left that game saying like, all right, we have a top 10 defense in football. But it's, and now, like, we could just get, we just,
well, I will, I'm going to say this. I, before we get to the Giants, I will say the Jets and Giants losing in such different ways is so frustrating as a football fan, because the Jets are like, they'll keep you in the game. They'll keep you like on your toes, and then they'll blow it in the end because of some bullshit penalty, some bad pass. Like, the Giants are just losing. And like, that's all right. But like, come on, at least they're not reeling you in and you're like, oh, we got a shot here.
All right, let's just get to the Giants, because I'm just already like that. It was just announced right when we started recording. Andrew Thomas is out for the year due to having a successful surgery this morning to repair a. Oh, JJ Watt had this injury. This is this,
different Leah Frank injury. Different position.
Yeah, but still, though, like the recovery for that is like absurd. Yeah, but so Andrew Thomas out for the year.
Different motions, though. I mean, one's like power rushing, the other one's just trying to block it.
Still, like, the recovery process is the same, though. Like, that's all. Right.
All right, fair. But I will say it's different ligaments and different pressure where you're putting on than running forward and trying to stand your ground.
I don't. So, basically, we're trying. Like, there's so many things to talk about with the Giants. Like, the quarterback play,
the receivers going to Travis Scott concerts, neighbors. We're keeping that in-house. It's not in-house. I mean, everyone's seen it. It's not in-house.
You gotta stop. Great. My mic sucks. I don't know what the fuck's going on right now. I mean...
Long morning.
Yeah, it's a rough morning. I mean, it's sort
of... Class got canceled. Class canceled. Take what you can get.
Yes, absolutely. Malik Nabers going to the Travis Scott concert. I kind of want to say it's a non-issue.
It is a non-issue. There's so many more issues that you should look at than a guy going to a concert.
There are a lot more actual issues at hand here. Let's start with the positives. And the only positive for the New York Football Giants is that defense, because my God. Oh, baby. When that secondary becomes experienced, like, watch out. Like, I'll leave it at that. When that secondary becomes experienced, like, get ready, because that defense is going to be fun to watch. Dexter Lawrence having 7 sacks through what are we at? 6 weeks? 6 weeks of football?
Yeah.
As a nose tackle.
Yeah.
As a nose tackle is insane. And I know Kayvon Thibodeau's on IR. And I'll say this. You know who looked pretty good? Azeez Ojulari looked pretty good stepping in his place. Mm-hmm. Ryan Burns looked pretty good. Like, there's a lot of good things about this Giant defense that I like. The offense, on the other hand,
this is the worst offense in the NFL. I'm sorry, it just might be. It just might be.
the Cleveland Browns exist, Tim. Who we beat and put up like 28 points on.
I know. Well, I mean, it's a different issue in Cleveland. I don't even know what they're gonna figure out there. But we'll get to that in a minute with the Amari Cooper trade, but.
So there's a lot of issues right now. And now the big topic of conversation on Giants Twitter is The big topic on Twitter is the injury guarantee that's in Daniel Jones's contract. Do we what we did, what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, and bench him to save that money, and then cut him, and then that frees up a lot more money. Dan Duggan, senior writer for the Giants, for the Athletic, said,
I hate the fucking Athletic. They hate the Islanders so much. Oh. They just hate the Islanders. Every year, Stan, they power rank them like 29th in the league every single year, and it makes me so mad.
Score some goals. Then maybe what we they can say. Fucking that, have that conversation.
That's what they say every single time. It's like, this team's just boring to watch, 28th. I'm like, all right, what? Like, you didn't even give me an explanation. You just said 28th. Like, that's it?
Not wrong. They're wrong.
They're 1-1-1, and they're exactly where they were last year, 16th in the league, so I'll take it.
God. Dan Duggan, someone mentioned can't have Josh Azudu or Evan Neal at left tackle with the quarterback with an injury guarantee. Dan Duggan said, I can say with confidence that the injury guarantee isn't going to drive any playing time decisions. Now, maybe if the team and or Jones bottoms out, he could be benched, but I don't believe ownership will green light playing a perceived worse quarterback due to the injury guarantee.
Who's your backup?
Drew Lock.
Yeah, it's like, I mean...
I'll just say this. I said this after week one. I said it after week one. I always say that I hate the people that are like, oh, like, put in the backup, it can't get much worse. Because Tim, as a Jet fan, you know that.
I know, it gets worse.
Can't get much worse.
Tim Boyle's dead.
In this situation, it cannot get much worse.
Cannot get worse.
Like, with how terrible he has been, he cannot get worse. Even funnier, Daniel Jones has not thrown a touchdown pass in MetLife Stadium since the game that I went to almost 2 full years ago when they beat the Colts and clinched a playoff spot.
I will say, though, great job at managing the football this year. I think he has 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. So. He's been a great manager of the game.
No, he got picked off the other day in an abysmal play that I think I saw Bo Nix make the same mistake. The only difference between Daniel Jones and Bo Nix is that one's a rookie and one's in year fucking 6 and making $160 million. It's absurd. It's absurd. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. Last year I had hope. Like, I had hope. We all remember last year. I was like, this team might make it to the playoffs. They might do it. They might do it. And then we lost 40. And then we lost 40-0.
Yeah,
40-0. And now I'm seeing Jaden Daniels, might win rookie of the year.
Probably will
with our division rival, who I haven't worried about in fucking years. And now I have them on the corner of my out of the back of my mind. It's like, oh, Jaden Daniels.
They're better than the Cowboys.
They're better than the Cowboys. They might be better than the Eagles. Oh my God.
Sirianni is just
he's the fucking worst. And I know, like, Philadelphia fans are like kind of like, all right. Like, I know they're all up in arms about not firing anybody for the Phillies on the Phillies coaching staff. Like, they extended Rob Thompson. Like, they're not firing anyone. And you know it's a bad sign when Dave Dombrowski is like, I don't know where to go from here. But anyway, I'm telling you right now, the Eagles do not make it past the wild card. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. If they do not make it past the wild card, he has to go.
But he won't.
To go.
He won't.
He's got to go. He has to go.
He's not a good coach. Their team's so talented for them to be playing this bad.
I can't say what I really want to say about him on this microphone, but I don't like him. I don't like him.
We can leave it at that.
And then Dak Prescott. Like, this is...
The run game stinks. They throw the ball 50 times a game. They're just so messy.
This is why... This is what happens when you start...
Could I Derrick Henry for $8 million?
Timeout. This is what happens when you start your offseason an hour before kickoff week one on Sunday. Like, this is... What did you expect?
They fucking stink. And then you got Jerry Jones on going on radio talk host talking about, I'm going to fire you if you keep talking about how bad this team is and these moves that I've made, what I've done wrong. He's like, you're not talking about what I've done right. Buddy, you just lost 47 to like 9. What do you expect?
What do you expect? Exactly. I don't understand.
As long as Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys, and I very much mean this, they will never win anything. They will never win anything. Ever. He completely destroyed the team.
He's I don't want to say it, but he's Brian Cashman.
Yeah. No, he is. He's worse than Brian Cashman.
He's worse than, much worse than Brian Cashman. And I know I shouldn't be dissing our general manager, but we're two wins away from going to a World Series, but let's all be honest here. Brian Cashman still has a job because of that three-peat in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or 90s and 2000, and going to four straight World Series. But
it's been a while.
It's been a while. The other trade, literally 5 hours after the Jets traded for Devontae Adams.
They had to do something.
Bills had to do something, and they did. Amari Cooper is a Buffalo Bill. This gets him out of purgatory. Number one.
What is he anymore? What even is he? I don't know. I haven't seen him playing like a competitive brand of football.
Well, when you have Deshaun Watson, I'll just say this.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen someone throw him like a competent pass.
Time out. He balled the fuck out when he had Flacco at quarterback. Imagine what he's going to do when he's got one of the best quarterbacks in football.
No, I know. He's going to be phenomenal.
He's going to be dangerous. He's going to be very dangerous. I'm leaving it at that.
And now we're going to see who's going to be more productive. Is it going to be him or is it going to be Vontae?
Who made the right panic trade? that's kind of what it is.
Literally.
Who made the right panic trade? Any other NFL stuff? How much time do you have, Tim?
I got to probably be out of here at like 11:30. Russell Wilson's starting on Sunday against the Jets.
That's stupid. That's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, though, Justin Fields has been a little underwhelming these past two weeks.
He's been underwhelming, but, like, come on. Like, really?
I think they just have such a short leash with him that they can have that now they're like, listen, we showed what he can do. Now we're going to show what Russell can do. And next year, one of them's out the door, and whoever we decide to stick with, and, you know, we showed what the other one can do. So now he has value. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, I feel like they're trying to build him up.
You're right. Trying to think of other NFL stuff. Oh my God. When is Doug Peterson getting fired? When is this going to happen? Obviously you can't like what if they like fire him like after the London game, if they lose the Patriots, and I'll say this, like Drake may look good despite the media saying that like he was going to die.
One game. 240 yard bombs. Nice.
Yeah. No, he looked pretty good. I mean, it's probably the most excited I've seen Patriots fans since they made the playoffs with Mac Jones.
I live with Patriots fans. I had a few of them saying that's probably the first 40 long. That's probably the longest ball I've ever seen since Tom Brady.
Since Tom Brady. Yeah, exactly. But like when we look back on it, and it's just so funny to think about it. Like when we look back like 5 years from now, and I heard this on Part of My Take. Doug Peterson and Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl has to be the most random head coach quarterback combo to win a Super Bowl ever, especially when you're considering who they beat to win that Super Bowl.
And you look at it now and it's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how did this happen?
How did that happen?
It makes no sense. Like you're looking at it now. It's like, this is just, and if you told someone who just started watching football like 2 years ago and had no clue about what happened in the past, and you're like, oh yeah, by the way, like Nick Foles and Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl against Brady. You're like, what? what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. All right. That's enough NFL. Let's go to the
Jaguars, the worst team in football.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I just want to ask.
Right now, yes. All right. Let's go to college football. And we'd be remiss to mention this. O's are up.
Fucking let's go. They're gonna destroy Purdue on Friday.
You don't know the lore of going at Purdue, especially with the number.
I don't care anymore.
Oh boy, this is famous last words.
You want to know why I say it won't be? It's not famous last words is because of the way they started the season and the way they're playing now are the way they're completely different teams.
Granted, one of those games was against the probable Heisman Trophy winner, and we will bring up that debate because right now I don't know who you pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard not to pick him. Like he's 1,500 rushing yards.
It's hard not to pick Jenty, but it's also hard not to pick. I'll say that, and I'm not a Power Five head coach gets fired, and I'm not like, well Deion's been looking at some jobs lately. Like no, but like the shit that we're seeing from Travis Hunter is insane. And it's going to be a very interesting vote.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong with either.
Call me fucking nuts. Just call me nuts. You're going to call me nuts right
okay,
now.
And you, yeah, you I'm call me call you nuts, of course. Yes.
All said and done, Gabriel's in that three pick at the end of the year.
Yeah, who is that three pick right now? Yeah, I mean, you might not be too far-fetched. Because
I'm going to knock on wood here. Because I'm not saying they're going to. But if they go undefeated.
The Heisman Trophy is a what have you done for me lately award. Now yeah. It is.
It's a quarterback's award. That's what it is now.
Well, yeah. The two favorites are a running back and a wide receiver.
And so, I guarantee by the end of the year, it doesn't finish that way.
Let's see. ESPN midseason Heisman watch. We got a loaded weekend of college football this weekend. We are blessed. We are blessed.
There's like too many sports on, dude. I'm watching like four games at the same time.
Yeah, really. Like this is getting insane. Let's see. Oh, Cam Ward.
Okay. Yeah, Cam Ward. That makes sense. But at a certain point,
he's looked pretty good.
Phenomenal. But at a certain point, I'm just going to say, if Oregon does, knock on wood, end up going undefeated, we're looking at a completely different conversation here.
I'll also say this. Give Cade Klubnik his flowers, though.
Yeah.
If you were, here's the thing. If they did not play Georgia week one and got mollywopped the way that they did, Clemson would, number one, be undefeated. Would probably be undefeated. I know that there's, here it is. Here are stats. 1,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 5th in the nation in QBR. 105 of 55, that's 68% completion. 21 total touchdowns. A 183 rating.
That's pretty good.
It does go to show you how talented Georgia is, and that might be Georgia's saving grace.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this. Georgia's going to DKR. And that's it's one of the toughest places to play. Does Georgia get in as a two-loss team? Because I think they do.
Yeah, I think they can. I will say this, though. If Bama loses two games, I don't know if...
And that was a close one against South Carolina.
I know, and I'm
very, very close.
Do they even get in?
We'll see.
I think that Vanderbilt loss has to be too much for them to be like, all right.
They got to take on Tennessee. Let's see Alabama's remaining schedule. It's the third Saturday in October. Like this, we dream of days like this. They got to go at Tennessee. And it's a pretty difficult schedule. At Tennessee, home against Missouri, at LSU, Mercer, that's a win, at Oklahoma, and then home against Auburn.
It doesn't sound easy. I mean, the way they're playing right now, too, it's like, I don't know.
I don't know either. Trying to find some other games. I mean, the two big headliners are Bama, Tennessee, and then Texas and Georgia. Are we 3-1? I'm not surprised. Let's go to some hockey. NHL in full swing. Rangers.
Yeah, they look good.
Oh, we haven't discussed this. Igor Shesterkin turned down the largest contract in largest goalie contract in league history, and
I have like. Well, here's what I know. I think you know the same thing.
People that are like, we got to trade. I'm like, do people realize that like we are nothing without him? Like nothing.
If you're a New York sports fan and you're gonna be like, oh, Aaron Judge is the face of her team, Jalen Brunson's the face of her team, and you don't look at this Rangers team and think Igor Shesterkin's not as important or more important than those two guys, you're a moron.
There were people that were like, well, Aaron Judge and Jalen Brunson didn't get a pay cut. I'm sorry, your Make-A-Wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation did not come true. I'm sorry.
A pay cut in those sports compared to hockey is not
a blessing. It's not the same.
Not the same thing at all. A 13 man on the rotation in the NBA is probably making more money than your second line center. And that's like, you're like, and you look at it and you're like, okay, like this is getting ridiculous. The cap's going up. From what I've heard,
money.
The only way he's going to take an 8-year contract is if it's in the 12-5 range. He needs at least 12-5 to take an 8-year. I heard, from what I'm hearing from per sources, is that he wants a shorter-term deal.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Still unlike that, you know, whatever. He'll take a little bit less money for a shorter-term deal. But he wants that shorter-term deal because while the cap's going up, and you know it's going to keep going up, if you get him for four years, after those 4 years, he's going to want like 13.5. You know, he's going to want an absurd number. So right now, it's not a short-term fix because it's going to, like, you know, this is going to affect a lot of things. You're going to have to move some guys.
It just sucks that the thought of him leaving is going to be on the back of my mind.
Yeah.
It's what I was doing with Judge in 22. It's what I'm doing now with Soto. And then now for me, on top of that.
For me, there's a lot of things that go into it. I don't think he's going to leave New York. I just don't. I think you got his best pal.
I don't think he leaves either.
His best pal is in Long Island.
I'll say this.
They're very close.
Chris Drury is no idiot. Like, he knows that this team is shit without Igor. And we will get to the other thing that you saw the banner?
Yeah, oh my God.
That's a horrible look. That's
oh
a hard
God. And, that is Dolan written all over it. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it was
Lord.
Yeah, you saw yeah. Ryan Whitney said it best. Like, that's all Dolan. Like,
that's
Drury.
Terrible.
Like, Drury's no idiot. Like, he's won basic. Like, he's won everything. Like, he President's Trophy winner. No one would blame you 1 minute. They're just
regular season champions.
The fact
is like,
that
what
it says
regular
doing?
Season champions is so bad. It's
what are
so
you
bad.
Doing?
What world are we living in? You know what that reminds me of? Because everyone made fun of it for the Washington Capitals doing it. Rangers fans made fun of the Capitals for doing it. Everyone in the league made fun of Nashville for doing it when they won the President's Trophy. Now the Rangers flip it, and it's the worst banner I've ever seen.
It's a Dolan thing. It's a Dolan thing. Like, I just don't understand.
Ugly, added on.
Like, oh
ugly
my God.
It doesn't help. But the Shesterkin thing, that'll be fixed soon. Like I said, Sorokin's across the river. I mean, he's in Long Island. His best friend's right there. A lot of Russian players, from what I've heard, I know I'm not like an insider source, but from what I know from media sources and other people telling me, they love New York. The weather in New York is something similar in the wintertime to what Russia is. It feels
Take
more
that,
like home.
Taxpayers.
That's what I've heard is Russian players. Yeah. From what I've heard is that they love playing in New York. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I just think he's playing the waiting game and saw what Swayman did and they coughed it up. So I think the similar thing's going to have to happen here. What I think he's going to end up getting, if he does get a long-term deal, and I think this is probably what it's going to end up being, is I think he'll bump it down a little bit, and I think he gets 8 years, 12.25 per. I think that's probably what he's going to end up getting, in my eyes.
Okay.
I think it's a little drop down from what he wants, but that deal for the Rangers is... I don't know. I mean, he's probably the most valuable player in the league, which is so annoying to say, but real pain in the ass, but yeah, he is. I mean, he is... Like, what do you want me to say? I mean, he just is what he is.
Just the thought of, like, people just being like, well, not everyone's Jalen Brunson or Aaron Judge. I'm like, oh, well, they have a dollar to spare.
Like,
clearly.
tell them to give some money up and give it a Shesterkin if you want him to stay. Call, what charity event do you want? Tell them to give up fucking $10 million of their contract. Like, they won't notice that for a week.
It's the insanity of people.
Shohei deferred $70 million this year. You're talking about paying this guy's total.
$70 million. No, he.
Oh, 700. I know. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying per this. What's the contract for this year? It's $70 million. He's deferring just to take this year, right? Or 68 or whatever. He's not getting paid this year.
Shohei Ohtani contract. $680 million in deferred payments.
And you're gonna sit here and you're gonna be angry at a guy whose entire contract is $88 million, and you're gonna be mad that he wants a little bit more. I mean, I don't know. For me, that's just like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. From like, I get it if you're like, you know, the average Joe like me and Tim, like $88 million, holy shit. But like, that's like nothing to these people.
It's the
National League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it, stop.
I know. It's just like,
it's
you
a
look,
billion dollar industry.
And people like, again, and this is what the average sports fan doesn't understand. There's no luxury tax. This isn't, you could pay a guy and just pay it off. There's a hard cap, and you got to work around the hard cap to pay these guys. There's a lot more that goes into this than just giving them money. We'll figure it out later. We'll pay the luxury tax like the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers do.
Yeah.
No, you can't, in the NBA, same thing. You can't do that. You just physically can't do that. So you have to figure out how you're going to break down this contract, and I think they'll get it done. Like, don't get me wrong. I pray. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
You turn down that contract, and you get a shutout to start the year. I mean, that's just a fucking spit in the face to Drury. Now he's got to rethink what the hell he's going through, because your guy who just turned down a record deal goes, fuck you, I'm gonna get a shutout, pay me what I want, and he did what he needed to do. I don't know. I think this deal gets done midway through the year. I don't think this gets pushed out all the way to the offseason, but it's definitely something on Ranger fans' minds.
Yep. All right, let's just go to what I saw real quick. Tim, you want to start?
I got a golf tournament this weekend.
Oh boy.
Yeah, dude.
UMass Lowell Club Golf.
I'm not glad you stand. I'm not in this upper echelon. I'm here, they're there. I mean, I gotta climb the fucking ladder this weekend.
I thought you were working these motherfuckers.
Yeah, no.
Oh shit.
The first tournament our top guy shot 5 under through 2 days.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a 14 handicap. I don't do that. I don't do that.
All right. I literally thought it was like, oh, like, Tim's gonna fucking work. No. Okay.
Stan, if we win this next tournament, we go to Nationals, which means we play at Pinehurst. And they only take the top 4 or 5 scores, 8 guys playing. I don't think it's gonna be any of mine in that. I think I'll be in that bottom 3 for us. But I'm gonna just have a good time. I'm gonna play some golf. It is what it is. New course, so I'm excited.
We are less than a month away from the college basketball season.
Oh, jeez. These rankings suck.
The AP poll means fucking nothing. It really does not mean shit, but it's just nice to have the discourse. I will say, is Duke underrated in the AP poll?
Dude, they're probably the best team in the country. Like, I don't know.
I'll just say that. I already put the future down on them to win the national championship. I already put the future down to win the ACC regular season title. Like,
dude, as good as Zion Williamson is and was in college, I haven't seen a player like Cooper Flagg.
I'll say this.
Ever.
As good as Zion Williamson was, he did not have the team that Cooper Flagg has. Like, yes, there's a lot of freshmen on this team, but there is so much experience and depth that this Duke team has. Yep. It's insane. Mason Gillis, Sion James. Sion James is going to be Duke's version of OG Anunoby, and you will thank me later. Who else? Malik Brown, transferred from Syracuse. Like, Mason Gillis shot 40% from 3 last year.
They're a good team.
And then you
they're
can
a really good team.
Proctor as well. Remember the name, Tim. I'm just going to tell you this right now. This kid's going to be a top 5, maybe top 10 pick in the draft. Con Knuppel. Remember the name. He's going to be, he is the X factor for this team. He is the X factor for this Duke team. And
I'm
locking it in. And I love the attitude from Cooper Flagg. Duke had a live practice for patients for Duke Children's Hospital. He fucking dunked on Malawach, who's like 7'2", and he just screamed out. He's like, give me that fucking shit. I'm like, that's my dog.
I will say, from what I see from Cooper Flagg and a way that this could benefit Duke for him playstyle, is let him be him. Don't confine him to the college basketball structure.
No, Duke does that well. Duke does that well. As long as he's not a creepy Mormon that's dating his babysitter, I'm completely okay with it.
There you go. Just let him run the offense. Okay with it. I get college basketball. I understand the systems and everything. Teams can win, you know, anytime. That's just how it works. But you let that guy be him, no one's stopping him. I mean, he was dominating the USA camp against NBA players. So you're going to...
LeBron James.
Yeah, like, and really. Gonna, I mean, like, this isn't anything for him. Now, I want to ask you a question, because now we're on the last thing for what I saw. Is Rutgers underrated? We haven't seen him play yet, but...
I'm going to say... So, this is why, like, the AP poll's kind of, like, all, like, mush. The AP poll, like... They don't, like, value the inexperience. They see a name. They see guys like Dylan Harper. They see guys like Ace Bailey. And they're like, okay. Like, we're not going to give you, like, fucking... Like a top 10. Like, oh, we'll put you at 25. KenPom, however, values that inexperience. Rutgers is in the 60s, according to KenPom. So take that for what you will. Now, Duke is like the one exception to this rule because of how much experience that they're bringing back with Proctor and frickin' bringing in Gillis and Brown and Sion James. I'm getting chills. Imagine we get a fucking Yankee World Series and a Duke National Championship. Oh my god.
Yeah,
this might be
Rutgers National Championship.
This might be the year of me. Like, people need to realize that. Like, this could be my year.
Maybe I'll hop on the Rutgers basketball train for this season. I want to go on
like a tour of college basketball games during winter break.
Yeah, if we're over for fall and Rutgers is home, we should go. Like for Thanksgiving break.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving break if Rutgers is home. Are you kidding me, Stan?
Let's see. For football or for fucking basketball?
For football.
Oh, for football? Let's see. Yeah. Well, let's see. Rutgers football. Let's see. What do we got here? Ah, they're in East Lansing.
Damn it. Well, yeah, gave it a shot.
East Lansing. Yeah, we tried. Anything else?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? All right, let's do it. All right. It's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to follow us now. Subscribe to our YouTube. Like our videos on YouTube. leave a comment. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars only.
We will have picks posted. I can guarantee you I do not have a pick from the Thursday night shit show tomorrow.
Neither do I.
Okay, perfect. We'll have picks out by Friday. And then, yeah.
How's the leaderboard looking right now? Am I still in first?
You're up two. I think you're up two. Because going into this, you were up one.
Yeah. I had.
You had the Jets and the Giants. I had a terrible day. Awful.
Yeah. Jags is a.
Yeah, I don't know why I took them. I kind of was like, you know what, like
Trevor Lawrence's contract looks nice,
and I was like, Trevor Lawrence knows how to play overseas. Caleb Williams doesn't. Well, I guess not. All right, peace out, guys.